The corporate regulator ASIC has copped some heavy criticism from the Royal Commission this year, the Banking Royal Commission, for being too soft on the major financial institutions that it was meant to police. Now ASIC has suffered another embarrassing setback, with the federal court yesterday refusing to approve a $35 million penalty to Westpac over breaches to responsible mortgage lending laws. Westpac and ASIC had reached an agreement in September over the fine after Westpac admitted it had wrongly assessed customers' ability to repay mortgages involving about 10,000 loans. But now the federal judge, Nye Perham, has ordered ASIC and Westpac to go back to the drawing board, raising concern about ASIC's ability to pursue the big four banks in the courts. Professor Ian Ramsey is director of the Centre for Corporate Law and Securities Regulation at the University of Melbourne. He's a leading corporate law expert. Ian Ramsey, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
So I'm struggling with this decision. Can you explain for us in a way that I and others can understand, Ian, why would a judge reject a bank's offer to pay a $35 million fine for breaches of responsible lending laws, which if approved would have been the largest civil penalty ever awarded under the National Credit Act?
So what has occurred here is certainly rare, Fran, but it basically comes down to the fact that the judge said, I do not have the information necessary to do two things. Number one, to declare that there have been contraventions of the law by Westpac. Number two, to impose an appropriate penalty. So although both sides, ASIC and Westpac, had reached an agreement, in particular that Westpac pay $35 million, the judge doesn't rubber stamp that. The judge has to form an independent view based on facts before it, and the judge said, I don't have the relevant information. In particular, you have not told me precisely how Westpac, in terms of the procedures that it used for approving these loans, how it breached the law.
So what can we read into this? A judge that's not persuaded yet, or a judge that thinks Westpac could indeed pay more, or is it possible that Westpac or should pay more, or is it possible that Westpac could now end up paying a much lower penalty?
So, Fran, there's going to be a number of options going forward. They would include the two parties, ASIC and Westpac, reaching a new settlement and indicating precisely how Westpac has contravened the law and why the penalty that's then agreed is appropriate. It might be, another option, is that the two sides can't reach a settlement and ASIC decides to litigate this and go before the federal court to argue its case. It might be that ASIC decides to drop the case. It's hard to know what will happen going forward in relation to this particular matter.
It's hard to imagine, in wake of the Royal Commission, that dropping the case and the penalty would go down very well with the general population. But can you explain exactly what's led to this potential record fine for Westpac? How badly was Westpac in breach of the responsible lending laws? What did it do wrong?
So effectively, what happened here over a 3.5-year period from December 2011 to March 2015, Westpac approved about 262,000 loans. Now, we know that customers provide information about income and expenditure. Westpac used the information provided by customers about income, but it didn't use the information provided by customers about their expenditure. What it used instead was what's called the household expenditure measure, which is basically an index that measures expenditure. Now, why did Westpac use that? Well, the court says, you never told me why you used it rather than using the declared income from customers. But there's a big issue in relation to this because the question is, did Westpac issue some loans where, in fact, if the declared or actual income had been, expenditure had been used, that really then the customer was facing financial hardship, could not actually pay back the loan. And this is particularly important for loans where they start interest only, but then after a number of years become interest and principal. Would the customer then face particular financial hardship that would not have occurred? The loan would not have been issued if Westpac had actually used the declared expenses. So there's a big issue here for how loans are made, the processes that are followed, and particularly, Fran, what the law means. So if one thing comes out of this that might be good, it is some agreement about what the law means, because the judge clearly says BASIC, ASIC and Westpac don't have an agreement about what the law means in this area.
Okay, this makes it hard for ASIC. I mean, this is embarrassing, I imagine, this ruling for ASIC. ASIC's been accused of being too soft and too slow in dealing with the big end of town. In the interim report of the Royal Commission, Commissioner Hayne noted too often ASIC has sought to accommodate the expressed wishes of the entity rather than determine what ASIC wants from the negotiation. Now, under the new chief, James Shipton, ASIC has promised to get tough, and here it is being getting tough, but that's been thrown out of court. So how major a setback is this for the corporate regulator, and what does it tell us really about the difficulty of trying to understand what the laws mean, both sides being on the same page, which is, seems to be one of the problems the judge has here?
So it undoubtedly is a setback, Fran, and that's why I think whatever the next step is going to be very, very important. And certainly we do know that the Royal Commissioner was critical of ASIC in the interim report about the fact that ASIC too often negotiated outcomes, often with no admission of liability on the part of the financial institution. And the Royal Commissioner said, why isn't ASIC taking more court-based litigation on the basis that that can send the strongest deterrent message? Mm. So yesterday, of course, in the federal court, this undoubtedly is a setback. But let me add this comment. One thing that the Commissioner said was often you can go to court to get a settled interpretation of what the law means. The judge said yesterday, you haven't told me what your view of the law is and how the law has been contravened. So maybe this is not a criticism in a sense of a general policy of ASIC going to court, but maybe what will come out of this is something good, which is a better understanding of what the law means.
Okay.
And if the parties do that, that's good.
And Ian, we've only got a minute to the news, apologies, but the Banking Royal Commission sits for the final time next week. All four big bank CEOs will be there before the Commissioner. Just briefly, what are you expecting to come from those hearings?
So I think, Fran, what we've seen so far is extraordinary wrongdoing. I think that basically that wrongdoing has been exposed in a profound way. What I would expect to see is the leaders of the banks once more acknowledging some significant wrongdoing, the need for cultural change, and indicating how things have improved, and that will feed into the Commissioner's recommendations for change.
Ian Ramsey, thank you very much for joining us again.
Thank you, Fran.
Ian Ramsey is a Harold Ford Professor of Commercial Law at the University of Melbourne and Director of the Centre for Corporate Law and Securities Regulation. A spokesperson for ASIC told us the regulator is reviewing the judgment and will make no further comment at this stage. We also invited Westpac CEO Brian Hartzer onto the program, but he's not speaking publicly yet.